Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Savage Starlight, the officially unofficial podcast for The Last of Us on HBO. I'm Jim.
I'm Aaron.
And today we're talking Season 1, Episode 2. We just finished watching it. It's called Infected. I think we all know why. Holy moly, there are a lot of infected, Aaron. I was not expecting... You know, when they first said, okay, it's going to be the tendrils and they're going to be connected, I was not expecting them to do anything this cool with it.
That's the thing. I was thinking like long Zorro whip like things that are coming out of hallways and whipping people or shit like
right,
that.
Right.
I wasn't expecting like a tripwire network that would bring literally every infected down on you. That was a very cool executed concept.
There are some shots as Joel's walking up to the state house where they're just shooting his feet. And I'm like, they're really making me think he's going to step on like a tripwire and set off a landmine or a mortar or something. But like, then I remembered, oh no, they're telling me he might step on some fungus that attracts him. And that was
live
so
fungus.
Cool.
Some live fungus. I thought they did, everyone got to see some infected this episode. Some of the more advanced infected, the ones known as a clicker. I thought that the sound design when Joel was opening some of those doors, the way the hinges creak sounded like a clicker, kind of was like a what do you call that? Like a premonition, foreshadowing. If you were like a game player,
gotcha.
It's like, you know, it's visceral. And man, they really I tell you, I don't think you need to go to YouTube and watch a video game playthrough, because this is exactly what it feels like to play this game. These things are tough. Like you feel like a rich man if you have 5 bullets in your revolver, 3 shells in your shotgun, a good shiv, and a med kit, and one good 2 clicker firefight, and you're fucking flat broke. Like,
yeah, they gave us clickers. They gave us our first water scene, which is a staple of the hallmark of the Last of Us games. They gave us our first stealth sequence. Like, there is so much Last of Us in this episode of The Last of Us.
Yeah, when they were like creeping behind that counter, it's like, this is just like playing the game. And the locations.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. Like, Sepinwall made this a point in his season overview that came out like 2 weeks ago. But he specifically cited this hotel. It's like, this is a location that The Walking Dead would have to justify 2 or 3 seasons shooting in to make it pay off. This fucking show, you're in it for 10 minutes and then the thing collapses and you're on to the next one.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And I definitely can see sometimes there's some seams between the CGI and the digital mats and all that kind of stuff. And man, like, when you're inside some of these interiors, it just feels rock solid. I know it can't be. I know there's no fucking way this is all practical. But, oh my God, it really does look like it is.
Yeah. It's definitely not all practical. But I love it. I just, even the, you know, the fungus on the floors and the walls and just the bodies strewn inside the fungal network. Like, even when they're all dried up, is horrible. It's horrible. And I love it. It was extremely tense episode too. It was like, from right after the cold open. I mean, honestly, kind of even in the cold open, they just start the tension and they just ratchet it up. And I'm like, okay, when are we going to get a particular type of zombie or infected, I guess. And they show us the clickers and I'm like, all right. But it took all episode to get there. Right. Mm-hmm. And every time they walk in a new room, a new location, I'm like, is this going to be the place where they encounter one?
And how loud they were being, that's the other thing that kept on, like, I guess they were pretty secure in this particular location or pretty familiar with it. But like, when she started dinging that bell and frogs are hopping on a piano, I'm like, oh, God damn it. God damn it. Going to trigger a stealth section here. And that's the thing. It's like, I was wondering if the zombie things would be scary or would work or would be tense. And as I was, you know, watching this thing and, you know, like halfway through the clicker scene, I'm like watching like this, like, oh, my God, oh, fucking. And I'm like, oh, right. This is what it was like. I never got over this playing the fucking game. Like if a clicker started screaming, it was on to you and it's like 3 feet behind you and you're down to your last magnum shell. It's like I never was cool about that. Like I never played. Yeah. I guess I just usually played the game and beat it. I wasn't like the people that are like fucking 100% 3 hour speed running it or whatever. I never got blasé about kiting clickers and whatnot. And it really, I thought it really worked. I knew Tess was going to die, obviously, but like it was an open question about whether they want to drag this out to the next episode and, you know, like the pacing. I cannot believe how they're just, yeah, like pedal to the metal, like after watching The Walking Dead just wallow. The way this is just gunning through.
Yeah, and it's the perfect place to end a chapter. Like it feels like they're closing the book on one chapter and opening it on another. They slightly switch up the test stuff a little bit, which kept me pretty engaged. I kept expecting like a certain thing to happen and it didn't. And then it all makes sense within the context of the other changes that they've made with the fungal networks and stuff. And I thought that stuff was really cool.
Yeah. Real quick, this is of course the instant take part of the podcast. We'll get to the instant talk. Everything that you guys are talking in chat is possibly will be used in instant talk section when Jim and I are done with our thoughts. Also, just reminder, please be cognizant, according to polling, only about a third of us have played the games. So we want to be respectful to show only watchers when we're talking about in chat. I've had a lot of success with that so far. Just a reminder. I fucked it up a bit last week. I did a mini Last of Us 2 spoiler in the Last of Us 1 spoiler section. But it could happen to the best of us. I just felt like, what do you think about the cold open with the Jakarta scenes where, you know, a couple people last week in the mailbag were like, boy, I really wish we could go back and see more of the fall and how this all happened. Well, fucking wish granted. How did it tickle your fancy?
Yeah, it wasn't my favorite part of the episode. I'll say that. It felt a little unnecessary, but maybe they're going to give us more of that and maybe it will be, you know, fleshed out in a way that makes it more interesting. But I don't know. Something bothers me about a scientist who just says, you know what? We need to bomb everybody. I'm not a fan of that. I don't know how the targeted bombs, like the conventional warheads they were using, actually are effective against something that spreads like this.
Apparently they were, though, because they mentioned that one of the reasons there is a Boston quarantine zone is because the bombing was effective at reducing the spread until they could build up an effective long-term defense. So
yeah, that's what everywhere. I want to know more about, because I am not buying it yet. But we'll see.
If you could, especially as easy it seems to be to bait this entire populations into choke points, maybe that's the one, you know, like if they found that out kind of late in the day, but maybe they could save a few cities. I'm going to make a prediction. I think that the cold opens from here on out are going to be little microcosms of before the fall, or significantly before, like we might see young Ellie, like probably recasted, like four or 5 year old Ellie, or, you know, like how did she become an orphan? Or
yeah. How did she know Marlene, or how did Marlene know?
Yeah, like how did the
who
baby
she was
get
and why? And, yeah,
yeah. Was she? I wonder if they're hinting too that there's some kind of. This is all obviously anything that I'm speculating about is stuff that's not in the game. I wonder if they're going to hint the fact that like she was some kind of, you know, like the Bene Gesserit and Gesserit or whatever in Dune had this like breeding program to make the perfect being. I wonder if they're suggesting the Fireflies were like. I don't know. Like Ellie was the result of some kind of focus experiment. Cause like, I'm trying to put together like Marlene's interest in her from a baby to her, like the coincidence of her being the one that's immune. That seems crazy.
But I don't know why you need to take her to a lab to study her if she was like created in a lab.
But if you like had like, I don't know, 30 kids that you'd fucked with and you don't want to know which one, you know, had the son, but I don't know. Like I said, I worried about how that connects to. Like, oh, your experiment got released in a lab. You need her back in a lab so you can study her. What? But
we took her across the country to Fedra QZ. There are other QZs, apparently.
Yeah, it's really mysterious. Yeah, I like that they're giving game players some mysteries to kind of like figure out, too.
One of the things I really like about the cold open is they allow the scientist to have the information she needs to know to actually figure out the problem.
Right.
I've seen so many shows, so many movies that are like the military calls in the specialist and the specialist goes in to look at the patient and they won't answer any of their damn questions.
That's classified.
Right.
Well, then what the like, fuck no, am I here us. For?
Yeah. Here's some information. Here's everything we know, which is basically nothing.
Also, like the world leading expert just like look you cold in the eye. And it reminded me of that classic Rick and Morty skit where like the president of the galaxy somehow Rick set their currency to zero. Uh-huh. And they realize that civilization wouldn't work if no one gets paid. And like the president of the galaxy is like, gentlemen, I think we've all overlooked a solution. And he pulls out a pistol and he just shoots himself in the head. Like, that's what this lady's whole effect was like. Yeah, uh-huh. Fucking bomb the whole city. Hope for the best. I want to go home and spend time with the family because I don't even believe this is going to work. Like, we never hear that. Like, would you imagine how terrifying that would be if like you look to the world scientist and it's like, ah, you fucking frauds, you fucking phonies, they're just like, well, we're just fucked. No, there actually isn't a vaccine. There's not an antibiotic. There's not even an antifungal. We can maybe kill enough of you to stop the spread, but it's pretty much over. That would be terrifying.
It would be. Also, you're fired as a scientist. You don't get to be a scientist anymore if your answer to the problem is just to give up and go home.
But what if it is?
Sure, but we have now an ample opportunity to study the spread in humans, which we've never had before. Well, like, there's so many different avenues.
I feel like you're going to hear these announcements as the cities start falling. Because, like, at that point, 14 people had, like, that's, yeah, like, God, I don't know. I guess I really bought into, like, this is a serious scientist who, if there was any shred of hope that she would do something, and her saying that there is none is like not her being a bad scientist. It's her being an expert. Know. It's her being an oncologist and be like, look, you got stage 4 bone cancer. It's metastasized to your heart, lungs, and dick, and you're going to die.
Sure. I don't know. I say fight to the end, lady, but you know, that's just,
they
me.
Got your dick, Jim. What are you going to do?
Just me.
What are you going to do?
Study it. Study it. Get it on
study
the table.
Study his dick. Look at it. Listen to Jim. He says, study his dick. Yeah, okay. Yeah. The lady's tired of looking at it. She wants to go to her family.
Fair. Fair. I'm tired of looking at it. Yeah.
We got confirmation of the flower grain kind of theory, you know, that it's sounds like you spread like a substrate. It's funny. I've done some research on how to grow mushrooms. Probably not what you think. I'm a morel man. But they're all bad. Like, it's amazing how many of them just grow in essentially wet grain, you know?
Yeah. Perfect substrate, as she calls it.
The autopsy, the whole time she was cutting on that woman, I'm like, the tendril's going to shoot out at her, or it's just going, she's going to get up off the table and start screaming.
But like you said, I'm glad it's not that type of tendril that you know, can shoot out like a strain, right?
That there was so much smarter shit that happened in that. I was expecting. Now's the time to endure and survive. We'll be back with more Savage Starlight.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
You've been listening to quite a few Bald Move podcasts now, but you're not in the club? Whoo boy, you are missing out.
Not only are all of our premium club podcast feeds completely ad-free, but we have lots of other great content exclusively for people in the club.
There's a weekly lunch with Jim and Aaron where we chat with fans about anything and everything from TV and films, food, fun, life advice, and more.
But there's also Off the Clock, our premium podcast where we talk about all the shows we don't have time for on our public feeds.
Plus, you get access to our full spoiler-filled first-run movie reviews of our newly released films.
Don't forget Instant Take and Talk podcast, where we give our hot takes and discuss television shows with our fans live and immediately after the episode airs.
With mega shows like House of the Dragon coming this summer, we're going to have lots to talk about.
Not to mention access to our fun and friendly community of club members, with exclusive Discord channels and a dedicated forum. It's one of the best places on the internet to hang out and chat about pop culture.
Bottom line, you're helping two regular type guys in the Midwest make the content you like to listen to, which some would say is rewarding to itself.
Help keep the lights on and the bits flowing at Bald Move.
And get some awesome content for yourself. Head to support.baldmove.com to join the club today.
We try to make it super easy to support making podcasts at Bald Move. Just join the club.
But some people aren't the joining type, or maybe they're already in the club but want to add a little bit of gratuity for an especially great season of coverage, or for a podcast that really spoke to them, or gave them that bit of support in a tough time.
For these, and for whatever other reason you might have, our tip jar is always open. Head over to support.baldmove.com and click the donate option to say, hey, keep doing what you're doing. We appreciate it.
Once again, check out support.baldmove.com for all the great ways to help me and Jim keep making the podcast you love.
Just so we're clear about back there, it was either us or the ad. Welcome back to more Savage Starlight.
Did you, when they tossed the reading material to her, for, were you hoping that it's like, I was like, oh, come on, please be Savage Starlight, please be Savage Starlight.
Yes, and I really hope she would wipe her ass with Savage Starlight too. That would be amazing. But
listeners, we are like a gambling addict waiting for black to come up with a Savage Starlight, because mm-hmm. I guarantee you, if they ever show a Savage Starlight, the Google traffic will shoot through the roof and we'll probably get mm-hmm. many multiple double digit percentage points of new listeners. Really put a long term play on Savage Starlight. Yep. There's a couple I don't want to do spoilers, but I will. Did you see there's a particular stuffed animal in the episode? And did you treat it as an Easter egg?
I saw some weird shot and I couldn't tell what it was. That might have been a stuffed animal.
Be cool in chat. We can talk about uh-huh. it in the spoiler section. Mm-hmm. But I like, if you're watching again as a game player, check out the stuffies, the stuffy on the ground.
Gotcha.
Man, I tell you, the way the flashlights, the look and feel of the clicker and how it behaved, its durability, the scarcity of gunfire and the buddy climbing mechanic. That, you know, like that's a classic Last of Us move. Like someone needs to boost someone else up to somewhere so that you can split the character off to have a conversation or a different type of adventure, or they use it psychologically too. Like, you know, you are comforted by having Ellie in the room with you, or if you're playing as Ellie, you're comforted by having a friend. When you're separated, it makes you feel anxious. They just need the loot. I need to see Jinhole's 10 palm monkey technique.
Yeah.
And I felt like every time they go through these locations, I'm like, you need to open up every single door in this hotel hallway. You need to go in and you need to open up all the Gideon Bible drawers. You need to go through all the underwear drawers. You need to definitely get all the drugs out of the bathroom. There's going to be at least a bullet or two in a flower pot. Why are you guys even trying to survive out here?
Right. Yeah, it's I don't know. There's so many like game things I want to talk about, but I don't want to do that all here. I really like the museum, too. You know, the hotel was an awesome set piece, but the museum was cool. Just all that fungus growing up the stairs. And when Ellie crunches on it, I'm like, God damn it. You had one job. You had one job. Silent.
And it was still another false like that. That they played that tension thing perfectly, I thought. So you played the game more recently than I. Was that museum scene in... Because I thought that I actually was an homage to Uncharted.
It could have been, yeah.
Because like young Nathan Drake sneaks through a museum that looks just like that. I think in the prologue of either 3 or 4.
Uh huh. Yeah. I remember that.
I didn't remember a museum scene, but I'm like, oh, I wonder if they're doing like a super secret Naughty Dog, other Naughty Dog franchise Easter egg.
Well, they did the walking across the plank and the ladder. They somehow did a plank and a ladder at the same time.
Yeah.
Because it was a ladder with planks on it.
Uh-huh.
To walk roof to roof, which is obviously thing in games.
Straight up out of the game. Just how rickety it all feels too.
Yeah, nobody gives a shit, right? No, nobody feels like, oh, we got to do the tightrope act and put your arms out and balance. It's just like they walk across it.
Yeah, yeah.
A, because Joel's in construction. He was in construction. He probably did that shit all the time. And B, it's not the scariest thing out there.
That I love that where she's like, that inside there was terrifying. This is just wood. And yeah. I guess that would put a fine point on the relative danger level.
All right. Normally when I say this, it's not as gross, but we have to talk about the kiss. That really brutal. Creeped me out.
Dude, it was all I could do to keep looking at the screen. I wanted to continue just to kind of like... But no, I was my professional obligation made me stick with it.
Yeah.
So...
Let me ask you this. Is the cordyceps infection like keeping her there, allowing this to happen? Because no normal person would allow the thing to walk up to you and insert its tendrils into your mouth, right?
No, I mean, that's actually a really interesting call. Wouldn't mind. That's actually fuck. Probably but no, but you're the number's not zero.
Number's not zero.
Yeah, that's actually a really solid point, because I was wondering, like, is this too much? Because I wish in the game those fucking infected would sashay up to me like that, because I'd be like, yeah, big boy, come on. Shiv, motherfucker. But they don't do that. They come screaming at you and tearing you to pieces.
And this is one of those... Really,
I like that. I think that's the only thing that makes it make sense. I thought they were just being sick. But
sure, yeah, it could just be she's terrified and scared stiff. But I like the idea that it's infecting her, because it's one of those neck bites, right? That on the chart we see is 5 to 15 minutes before full infection. So like, and they walked from the museum to here, kind of took a minute to get inside, and now, this has got to be like at the high end of that 15 minutes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And she was already doing the twitching, and you know, like I think you could be right that like, yeah, that. It's just freezing her there to increase the infection or to get it into a better spot or just to link her up to the network, whatever. It's fucking cool. Boy, I really hope they thought this trip line mechanic, because, man, every time they're in a reasonably large facility or not facility, settlement, you know, I would expect... them to be overwhelmed quickly if they step on a mushroom. But I guess they also have the dry fungus mechanic.
A lot of stuff
is dormant.
Like, obviously, you can't be connected to the network if you're just inside a human host, right? There has to be some, like, physical connection. So, in my mind, it was when the tendrils from, like, the larger growth underground have to grab you, right? And then when you're connected to that, you become part of the network, and anything else connected, you know, up to miles away can get you or can get alerted.
Yeah. Do you think that, I had a follow-up on that. Oh, did you think that the zombies acted photoreactive? Like, it seemed like when there's breaks of sunlight through the clouds, they were all trying to roll to get away with it. And I thought that's what they're suggesting, that they're like, oh, there's some kind of weird... Yeah. Sun mechanic, but then they mentioned like, oh, they're all connected, like they're, and then I'm like, oh, notice it looked like they were kind of like a sea of grass and waves, like there's waves that would move through them. I thought sunlight was causing it. I wonder, I
think you're right. I remember clouds passing overhead, some shadows rolling through that crowd.
It makes sense, being fungus, like fungus don't usually like direct sunlight. There might be some that do, but like it's my understanding that they like darker, humid places. So I wonder, but obviously they're not like orcs where they burst into flames or like vampires or shit. Sufficient reason they'll traverse. But I guess that would also make sense that because didn't Tess even say that they usually like they were all inside and they prefer to stay inside, but something lures them out and then it's a shit show.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought it was real cool. It was really is a great episode, and it felt so much like playing the game in the best way, in that like you've got this, you know, the action didn't feel like action for sake. It was like held my attention. It was very tense, and it was interspaced with a lot of good character work, you know.
Definitely going to talk more about that in the Tuesday podcast.
Yeah, what's Joel do now, though? Like, he's on a mission he didn't really want with unclear goals and objectives. I guess he's going to go to Bill's and try to figure out either, I don't know, move her on the open market, or did maybe Bill's got the intelligence to know where the other Firefly networks are.
It's mildly interesting, Aaron. Mildly
I was with Tess. I would think that there'd be a radio or something with all that tactical gear. Yeah. But I guess you didn't have a lot of time to go through it meticulously. She was going to die, and then, yeah.
She could have used the grenades. The lighter wasn't working.
I thought that was pretty bad use of grenades. It didn't even seem like they cooked off. It seemed like the gasoline caught, but maybe they all went off simultaneously or something. Yeah, I thought that was pretty spindy on the grenades.
Mm-hmm. Maybe she wanted to collapse the building down on him, but she didn't. The ceiling caved in. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. Sounds like she took away. It sounds like they single handedly took out a lot of Boston's infected population.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think if there's anything else I want to talk about. Do you think it's about time to get to the instant talk section?
Yeah, we should do that.
All right. Well, I hope you've enjoyed our instant takes. This is what Jim and I thought about the episode. We'll have a full featured scene by scene recap and analysis episode out Tuesday. A jam packed feedback section of the podcast out on Thursday with our Spoilore insider game talk at the end of it. But if you are not a club member, this is where it's time to get off the old subway. If you'd like to become a club member and get access to the second half of this here Instant Reaction podcast, and even join us on Sunday nights as soon as the episode's aired, to take advantage of the YouTube chat interface to ask questions, float theories, etc., you can go to support.baldmove.com and sign up today. All right. Oh, also, TLOU@baldmove.com is how you send feedback for that aforementioned Thursday show. But now it's time for the instant talk. See you Tuesday.